Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, How to Train Your People, Chapter 1, Introductions, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, how should I be involved when my team is trained? What should I say to kick off a training session? And how can I make sure my directs get the most from training? If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Hey folks, if you haven't heard and you're in Europe, we will be in Prague, the Czech Republic, for an in-person Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference on September 21 and September 22 of this year. We're also there and have availability to do client events if, in fact, you are interested. We've already had one client ask us to stay over an extra day, I think in Brussels, to do some additional training for them. So again, September 21 and September 22 in Prague, EMC and ECC, please come to the website and sign up. Hope to see you there. You started off by saying that this guy was there early. So we have our next item is be the first one there and greet your people.
Absolutely. We recommend that you be there first and set the standard for your team in terms of timeliness and professionalism. Show them that you care about them and what they're going to learn that day.
I'd be willing to bet that there have been tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of managers over the years who have 2, 3, 4 weeks before a given training, have sent some people to some training and they approve budget or whatever, however that works. And then they promptly forget about it because it's an event, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the day of the training, the manager doesn't go, she doesn't kick it off, he doesn't attend, and they look up one day and somebody says, where is everybody? The guy manager says, where is everybody? And somebody says, boss, you sent him at the train. You sent him to training. Mm-hmm. That'll tell you how unserious managers are about the learnings that are happening.
Right. Why the learning doesn't stick. It wasn't important to you. You forgot about it.
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. You're being first, you're being on time means that they will also have a higher likelihood of being on time for the session itself. It means that you can assess their readiness, the readiness of each of the attendees.
Totally
are prepared.
Agree.
You can see who's excited and who's just gearing up to blow off the day and isn't really serious about this training.
Sarah, are you saying that me and Kate and you and Andrew, that sometimes when people walk in, we know they're geared up to blow off the day, some of them, some of the people?
Yes, that is accurate.
Less likely at a public event because more likely that people have chosen, they've already listened to the show and they want to come. Some of them, there are people who have come to the conference and says, I didn't know any other way to meet you, so I signed up for a conference so I could get you to sign my book. I said, you could have just asked. I would have sent you. You don't need to spend $1,000 to just get a signature. But there are other people who are like, you could tell he or she not in it. Don't care.
Don't care. Disinterested.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And guys, this your being first is going to serve you well when you meet with them in their one-on-ones in the weeks ahead, talking about how well their implementation of behaviors is going.
Yeah.
Because you've proven the import of it.
Yeah. Now, no offense, guys, but if I spent Manager Tools dollars and sent somebody to a couple of trainings and they didn't get a lot out of it and didn't make some changes, I wouldn't waste any more training dollars on them.
Mm-mm. That's not even provocative, I don't think, to say. I mean, some might think it is.
I think the vision people have of training is suggestions. It's recommendations. Okay. It's a learning development. I mean, look, I want you to learn, but learning is always in service of effectiveness.
Yeah.
Training isn't about a day away from the daily grind. It's about professional growth and development, and not everybody wants that. Some people say, I'm good where I am.
And some say, I want growth and development, but then you send them to training and they don't do anything with it. So all these people exist in the same planet.
Yeah. So look, here's what I'll say. I know what you're thinking. Nobody ever does this. And you're right. Nobody does, except your guy.
Jeff.
And that's one of the million reasons, folks, why there's a Dilbert cartoon with a hated and laughable pointy-haired boss. Mm-hmm. That's why management is the butt of so many jokes. That's why it isn't hard to be a good manager. To be a good manager, all you have to do is not suck. Why ever do we continue to limit our own growth, our own path to greatness as managers by comparing ourselves to thousands of others whom we all generally agree aren't very good at what they're doing by saying, oh, nobody else is doing it this way? And you know what? It's not their fault that those other managers aren't doing it well. Nobody taught them. They gave them a job. They got promoted. Now they're a manager. Nobody told them what to do to be a manager. But you know what? When you look back and you compared yourself to the lowest common denominator, you're going to regret not being the best manager you could be. If you're a good software developer, if you're a good engineer, if you're a good customer service person, if you're a good operations person, if you're a good information security person, you have all the capabilities to be a great manager.
Yes.
And it's up to you. Yes, it's in a different field. And you know what? Maybe you won't like it all that much. On the other hand, if you're good at it, there are a lot of people who will say, you made a difference in my life, which for the vast majority of people I know, people start telling you that, you start thinking, wow, I'm glad I made the switch from information security to manager of people who do information security. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, next on the agenda, you speak first, not the trainer.
Exactly. Guys, we suggest you talk to the trainer and make sure that they know you're going to open the session. Now, the worst trainers are going to be the ones who acquiesce because they know it's your money. The best trainers are going to be thrilled that you came up and made that offer. I mean, the best trainers know that training, the real value of training, isn't happening in the room that day. It's what's going to happen after the event when we're long gone and you're the one in the trenches with those attendees doing the real work in terms of the outcome of this session. And I mean, truly, what's more, the worst trainers, and let's be clear, there's a lot of them because training is a lot like management, will only be too happy to let you talk as long as you want because that's less time that they have to fill.
Sick.
I know. Those are the same ones.
They're the same business as us.
Exactly. Yeah. They're the same ones that start the session with the worst opening ever. Oh, well, guys, we should be able to get out of here early today.
Yeah, everybody in the audience thinks that they're complimenting the audience for how smart they look. And it's just embarrassing. It has nothing to do with that. This trainer can't fill up the day. And they want to throw you candy so you'll like them and give them a high rating. So their boss will say, you're such a great trainer, while no behavior change occurs after the fact.
Exactly. Guys, it's that kind of behavior is akin to the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge you're giving to the audience, hinting to them that, y'all, we all know this isn't that important. And I'm not really good enough at my job to keep you focused and learning for the whole session. So, I mean, exactly. So in terms of your introduction, know that 5 minutes is about your limit. What that means is you got to be prepared. Again, trainers have tight agendas. We're counting on every minute there. I should say that.
Let's assume you have a good one.
Exactly. Right? We're counting
and
on every
minute. If you have
minute.
A bad one, 5 minutes is 5 minutes. And And frankly, your audience will get tired of you after 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Good.
Cool.
All right, next.
Mm-hmm. Tell them what to expect in the session itself during your introduction.
So a good trainer is going to start with welcome and purpose, right? Welcome, everybody. Glad we could be here on time. Well done. And here's our purpose today. Now, when you do this, if Sarah and I were presenting at your site, or even if we did a virtual event, we'd start with that. Now, if you're introducing us, you'll step on those a little bit, but now you're giving more gravity to the purpose because your introduction will make it the organization's purpose rather than the trainer's purpose. That's what's really important.
Totally.
And what you'll say about the purpose is what happens afterwards. So now, again, we're extending this beyond an event to a behavior change process. It's a process. It's a process. That's going to then lead to a natural handoff from the trainer to the organization that The trainer is going to say to you, to the group, when you're done, hey, you've been trained, mm-hmm. and now you can go deliver the results in terms of behavior change that this training promised, and that will lead to better results for whatever it is the company does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is one other thing, too. It would be good to talk about interactivity, right? Mm-hmm. You're introducing us. Say, hey, look, guys, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. Show that you're engaged. People talk about that. They use these words. There's a whole series of sort of mushy, mealy-mouth words. We're going to be collaborative and engaged. I got to tell you, if you go through an entire session and you don't ask a question, you're not engaged.
You're not engaged.
You're not. Mm-hmm. Full stop. Now, you might say, well, I'm shy. Folks, engagement is about more than thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's behaving in front of other people to show that you're engaged.
Right.
We're going to be collaborative. Well, that means we have to talk to each other. Oh, well, I prefer to send emails. Yeah. Sending emails to other people is like the lowest common denominator of collaborative thinking you can possibly do. So tell your people you want them to be interactive. Encourage them to ask questions. Encourage them to ask for examples that are tailored to their situations rather than the stock examples. We ask this from clients all the time, and clients are like, no, I've been at the training. Those examples are great. They'll teach it. Mm-hmm. Discourage the scourge of multitasking.
Yes, please, please, please.
Yeah.
We want that so much. Right?
Disgusting. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Encourage people to ask the trainer to apply the training to situations that they themselves have faced related to the training. So, hey, Mr. Trainer, Ms. Trainer, this happened to me last week. It sounds like you're saying you would have a way to address that. Mm-hmm. And you'd say, the good trainer would say, yeah, totally. Here's what you do in that situation. And here's what you don't understand yet. We haven't gotten there yet. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's engagement. That's interactivity. That's collaboration. That's learning, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, and in addition, if you have practice sessions, I know in all of our conferences, we have practice sessions. There's tons of interactivity. Encourage them to contribute fully and participate in those practice sessions to get the most value out of their time in the room as well.
And people just think that they can kind of, oh, it's a role play.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a role play. You're playing a role. But if this is a practice session and you're going to be practicing the new knowledge you just learned.
Right.
And there's nothing that we teach. I'm sure there are trainings that are much more complex than ours. There's nothing we teach that's hard.
No.
Complex or complicated. It just takes some self-discipline to learn something new and to be willing to be a little bit embarrassed for doing something for the first time, which by definition means you're not going to get it perfectly in front of other people. And there are people who say to me, well, you know, I'm just not comfortable doing that. Well, let me welcome you to adulthood where you don't get paid for being comfortable. You get paid for being effective. Mm-hmm. And some causes of effectiveness, some effectiveness necessitates being uncomfortable. Well, I just don't want to do it. Okay. Yeah, right. I get it. Okay. All right. What about tell them what you expect after the session?
Yeah. I mean, guys, most importantly, in your introduction, tell them that the purpose of the training will only truly be realized afterwards.
Yep.
When they change what they do when they're working on a day-to-day basis. Tell them, for example, you're going to start doing one-on-ones. Without this kind of direct involvement by the organizational leader, most training devolves into a series of suggestions from the trainer.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we talked about the fact that that's not sustainable financially, bringing a trainer in to make suggestions.
Yeah. That's how people respond to him.
Exactly. And when you send people to training, what you're doing, what you're truly doing is inherently saying that their behavior must change.
Yes.
And to be clear, note, if you don't tell them what to expect after the session, and then maybe you're only there for the first 20 minutes to introduce them, they will be asking your trainer when you're no longer in the room what the expectation is for them to deliver this after the training.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. And let me be clear, your trainer is not qualified to answer that question.
I was at Apple, this is 20 years ago, and a sort of a mid-level guy, there were some higher level people in the room, But a mid-level guy gave the introduction. I'd known him for several years. He has since gone on to bigger and better things. And he said to the group, he said, there will be a test. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, a test at the end of this? He says, no. The test is when you go back to work, you're going to be expected to implement this stuff. And the guy says, well, I don't work for you. He says, well, yeah, I know, but I've, you know, if you're here, your boss knows what to expect. And I have an obligation as the person who brought Mark in, his company, Horseman and Company, to make sure that this stuff, he told me, this is him quoting me 20 years ago, he said, don't bring me in if you're not going to get any value. And he says, okay, how would you describe value? I said, people change their behavior afterwards. So I'm going to make sure we get value. And that means you're going to have to change your behaviors. And one of the more senior people say, does that apply to everybody? And the guy looked right at the more senior guy and said, well, that's up to you. What the senior guy was saying was, I'm pretty much above this, so I don't need to do it. And by the way, I wrote this quote down. It's actually a quote of mine that I was working on this morning, writing an executive tools cast. The cleverest way I can describe to someone of what it means to be an executive is if you are in a session with your peers and you are senior enough that you start advocating for things that don't necessarily benefit your part of the organization or your budget. That is what makes you an executive. Mm-hmm. When then a junior manager, actually he wasn't junior, he was a senior director, but the person yeah. who was saying junior, does this apply to everybody was, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was more senior, yeah. was basically saying, no, I want to be myself. I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be somebody who's paid more than you and can throw my role power around. Yeah, it's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely. So yes, folks, make sure that you tell them what you expect after the session, because again, we can't afford to be spending our valuable training dollars on suggestions. Yeah. Right? This isn't a college class that they're auditing. Yeah. They're going to get a grade. The grade is coming from you. What is that quote? I think it's a Vince Lombardi quote. If you're not keeping score, it's not a game, it's practice.
That's right.
I think that's a Vince Lombardi quote. Yeah, it's basically, if you're not measuring it,
yeah.
it's a suggestion.
Yeah, and as we've said, when it comes to management training, which is our expertise, mm-hmm. that's what most training has devolved into for all kinds of reasons, suggestions, recommendations, and so on. And if you're just going to make suggestions, provide them a bunch of books to read. It's much cheaper than training.
So much cheaper.
Right? And don't care whether or not they improve themselves managerially or professionally. In other words, spend your training dollars on something else besides training. It's really what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think of it this way. How is it we all go to school for 20 years, nearly 20 years, and we get trained on how to do all kinds of things and get quizzed and tested and evaluated and get grades and worry about passing and worry about getting A's?
Yeah.
And then we become adults and all the testing and evaluations go away. Why ever do we treat kids like adults and adults like children? Folks, on October 1st of this year, we are increasing prices for our client training events, both for on-site and virtual. But what we always do when we increase prices is we let you know in advance, and any bookings that happen between now and the price increase, even if the training itself happens after the price increase, we will still honor the existing price. We don't like raising prices, but it happens periodically, and we do our best to add value. So in this case, we've added more value. We've added more benefits to the license that goes with those of you who attend client on-site and virtual events. It's virtually very much like an actual full license. If you have any questions or you're interested, please email Maggie at manager-tools.com, and she will get you sorted. Okay, next, attend the session.
Yes, attend the session. Now, folks, if you're not an expert on what's being trained and you're not doing it yourself,
yeah,
why wouldn't you want to know what your folks are learning?
In fact, a good analogy for this, Sarah, I've learned is somebody asked me, do I need to attend? I said, well, no, you don't need to do anything. This is a sponsor.
Yeah, it's degrees of one.
I said to her, I said, you don't have to, But let me, I'll give you a simple test. When your people come back from the training and they start doing this stuff, are they going to have a sudden realization, oh, this is what my boss has been doing all along, but I didn't have a way to describe it? If you've been doing this stuff, you don't need to go. And they'll learn it later. Mm-hmm. They might be surprised that you're only there for the kickoff, but you can leave and get a day's work done. And then in 3 or 4 weeks, they'll discover, holy moly, she just taught us what she knows. She never told us about this, but this is what she does and how she, that's why she's such a good boss, right? And so if you can say that, that your people will discover, you already knew this. And the way they know you know it, not that the knowing is important, but because you do it, then okay, fine, you don't need to be at the training.
Exactly. I mean, I'd go a step further. Folks, even if you have attended the training in the past, I mean, why not just be there to observe your directs?
Yeah.
That way you can visit with them during breaks, ask them what they think, ask them questions, pointed questions about, again, after action. How do you see yourselves implementing this?
Right.
Maybe ask questions to the trainer that they didn't get to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, back to our previous conversation, why not be in the room to answer any questions that they might have that the trainer's like, oh, that's a great question. Actually, that's really organizational specific. You can do a handoff. Hey, would you mind covering that? So that you and the trainer are working hand in hand in terms of the learning itself.
Yeah. And like I said, hopefully you're already doing this stuff. And if you are, ask them what it was like to be in a direct, to be a direct during a one-on-one, right? And there'll always be one person say, I hate them. But the vast majority will say, for the example of one-on-ones, again, I don't want to make this about our training, but this applies to all trainings. But say, like, what was it like? Mm-hmm. Ask them then what that teaches them about what their directs will experience. How will that make their directs better if these people are managers? If they're attending an effective communicator course, for instance, ask them about one of their colleagues who isn't there. Mm-hmm. What do they think that person's disc profile is? They'll have a hoot with that, right? And then how can they be more effective generally with that person based on their own profile and what they've sussed out to be the other person's profile? Mm-hmm. What behaviors of their own did they identify as being less effective? Than a different behavior, depending upon the style, a different style person that they're working with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, again, we know what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I just don't have time. And I mean, it's a really curious situation because I'm not sure how it is then that hundreds of managers have attended our sessions. Like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Oh, yeah.
With their folks. Due to the moving from one team to another. I mean, I can grab multiple names off my head. Marcus Hogeking, Trevor Woods.
Think about it. With the price of it. Yeah, Trevor came every session. Every session. Time. He's a chief information officer at a huge university. He came and sat in the sessions. Mm-hmm. He assumed he would. And he sat in the back. And I would walk back to him. We talk every break. And everybody in How's that room saw me talking to their boss's boss. And what's funny is, they're taking a slot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Trevor would say, I know I'm taking a slot, but I learn something every time I come here. And I want them to know that I'm there.
Yes.
And I want them to be able to come up to me and talk to me. They can talk to me about non-training related work stuff, or we can talk about the training.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Guys, the reason that these folks like Trevor show up every time is because they know it's necessary to send the right message, to get everyone on the same page. The way to best do it is by setting an example.
Yeah.
And that example set by being there all day long in the training.
Right. Okay. Last point. Yeah. Debrief after the session.
Absolutely. Now, folks, you can debrief immediately after the session. I mean, if time and traffic permit.
Right.
It only takes about 20 minutes. It's all built around the question, okay, now what are we going to do? You want to get their thoughts on the training, good and bad. If you have multiple sets of folks coming to multiple similar trainings, maybe you could provide some feedback to that training or to that trainer, my apologies, on how they can make it better and iterate on it so that future attendees get more and more value from that session.
Yeah, I'll add something. What I would say is a high D, somebody who's forceful and direct. I would say, okay, guys, what are we going to do? And when some of my people say, well, it's a lot to think about, I say, I didn't ask you what you're going to think about. I'm going to ask you what you're going to do. And it's easy. And for instance, I can't speak for other trainings, but it's easy in ours. Well, I guess I'm going to do one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Good answer. Okay. Now, let's suppose, though, you're a high S or a high C. You're a little more reserved, a little bit more quiet, a little bit more of a warm, fuzzy person. I've never been accused of being
fuzzy. Me neither.
I have no problem with warm and fuzzy people. It's amazing how they seem to have a problem with me. But if you're a warm and fuzzy person and you don't want to push your people too hard, and you say, okay, so we're being specific here, guys. This is kind of like training. It's virtual sort of asynchronous training. Because we're telling you what to do and how to do it. That's what training is about. So we're intentional when we say, ask the questions, okay, what are we going to do? Don't just do what everybody else does and say, how was that? And say, oh, it was great. They're right. Already thinking about going home. They think they're going to chat with you for 30 seconds. Okay, what are we going to do differently next week, next month? Okay, now, I might not be as tolerant as a high S or a high C would be of someone saying, well, a lot to think about. But I've learned that rather than dismissing that, for the high S or high C, it's okay if you get back. If you're a high S or high C and somebody says, well, it's a lot to think about, you're respectful of that. I get that. You could say easily, you're right. It is a lot to think about. And I want you to continue thinking about it. And I'll expect you to have some answers to what are you going to do in our next one-on-one. Yeah. How long is it going to take? If you go to a 4, 6, 8 hour training, how long is it going to take you to figure out what am I going to do differently?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And by the way, the what am I going to do differently is essentially the payoff of the payment of the training.
It's exactly.
The payoff of the training hasn't occurred when people are still in the training room. It hasn't occurred when they go home that night. It might occur the next day when they're in the office and people just... I'm ranting. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, folks, all that to say, don't be afraid to insist on behavioral change. If you're going to pay for the training, don't ask people to think about it. Insist on getting your money's worth in the post-training behavioral changes that you're looking for as a result. Work on your own to incorporate what you can from their input, either bringing them together, just share a plan before you announce it to everyone, or doing it in the next staff meeting or talking to them individually in their one-on-ones. I mean, insist on behavioral change.
You can even bring up the training, not just in your first one-on-one, right, after the session, but make it a recurring theme.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people to spike up for a week and then go away, because people will start learning it's training flavor of the month again, and I got to do something for a month, and then it's going to go away.
Exactly. Yeah,
because what you're paying for with training dollars is recurring behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So to wrap it all up, in future casts, we're going to have more to say about how to effectively use training to make your folks better. Kicking off a training session is just simply a no-brainer, and it truly isn't that hard. Make training part of their professional development by being involved and taking the time to introduce the topics. Enhance your training spend by kicking off the session and setting an example.
Hua.
All right.
Sarah, it has been a wonderful privilege and pleasure for me to be a guest on your show. I will have my PR person reach out to you periodically and offer to come on your show to
Thank
grace
you,
your audience.
All right. We will consider your ask in the future. Yeah, I felt like it was worth it.
That was good. Good. This is a hoot. I had a great
time. It was
time.
Good. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Have a good one. Bye, guys.